Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we ask you to give us utterance. We ask that the eyes of our hearts would be flooded with light. Help us to see things we've never seen before. Lord, even as these truths have gone forth before, decade upon decade, we're asking for the watering of the seed. And we believe that we receive increase in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. So we're going to start out with our final message on soar. Soar, amen? Stay in the Word. Overcome. Have a good attitude. And you will reign in life. And you'll mount up with wings as an eagle. So let's talk about reigning in life a little bit. In Luke chapter 12, 32, he says, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock." Why? Because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It gives him great delight to give you the keys of the kingdom. In the Young's literal translation, which incidentally is a very literal translation of the Word of God, it says, "Fear not, little flock, because your Father did delight," read the rest with me, to give you the reign, to give you royal authority and royal dominion. As a matter of fact, did you know that the Bible calls you a king and a priest? That's right. In the book of Revelation, if you don't believe it, look with me in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now notice that phrase, kings unto God. This refers to a portion of our spiritual identity. What's the meaning of kings unto God? Well, it signifies honor. It signifies authority. It signifies dignity. As kings unto God, we share in this glorious inheritance. In Romans 8:17, the scripture says that we are heirs of God and that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Say that with me. I'm an heir of God. And I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Point to your neighbor and say, "You're an heir of God. And you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ." To be an heir means you receive an inheritance. As heirs of God, we inherited his name. The name above every name. As heirs of God, we inherited his life. Life as God has it. As heirs of God, we inherit his wisdom, his righteousness. And I love this one in John 17, 22 and 23. If we could pull it up, it says, "We inherit his glory, but we also inherit his love." Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 22, let's read it together. Ready, read. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one as we are one." We inherited his glory, which is the manifest presence of God, heavy with everything good. Woo, glory to God. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory is resting upon you. Yes. Say with me, the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of glory resting on me. But not only have we received his glory, but also we received his love. Look at verse 23. Ready, verse 23. It says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me," oh glory, "and has loved them." It would do us all good to say this on a continual basis, the Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. And he placed his love in me so that I could love others. Kings and priests unto God. You see, the Bible pairs kings and priests together. I think it's very interesting. Let me just reiterate, and has made us kings and priests unto God. What does it mean to have a priestly ministry? It gives us direct access to God. Where you and I can intercede for others. We can go to the throne of grace, not only for our own needs, but we can go to the throne of grace and we can plead the blood of Jesus and intercede over people. That's such good news. See, there's only one mediator between man and God. And that mediator is the man, Jesus Christ. You do not have to go through a man to get to God. You got to go through the man. And his name is Jesus. And it said, sons, daughters, come on now boldly to the throne of grace. Come on now freely and fearlessly to the throne of grace. Because at the throne of grace, you're going to obtain mercy. And you're going to find grace and you're going to find help in your time of need. Amen. Oh, don't stay away. Draw near unto him with full assurance. Because your conscience has been purged from dead works. And now you can serve the living God. You see, because we reign, we are now positioned to soar. We're positioned to soar. Romans 5:17 says it beautifully. And I'll read it to you because it's quite long. For it says, for if because of one man's trespass, he's talking about Adam there. He's comparing Adam's death choice to Jesus' life choice. And so it says, lapse of offense, death reigned through that one. But much more, everyone say much more. It says, much more surely with those who receive God's overwhelming grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, will reign as wimps in life. We will reign as kings in life through the one man. The mediator between God and man. The one, the anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this verse compares the reign of death brought by Adam's sin to the reign of life available to us through the obedience of one. And the phrase reign as kings of life suggests authority and victory and abundance. Hallelujah. And it all comes, come on somebody, by the grace of God. It all comes by unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. But in his loving kindness, he gave it to us as a free gift. Lift up your hands and say, I receive abundance of grace. Unmerited favor. I receive saving grace, serving grace, standing grace, sanctifying grace. In Jesus' name. Oh, do you love it or do you love it? And so we are to reign in life right now. We do not have to wait until everything changes to soar. We don't have to wait until all things have come together perfectly for us to reign. We reign in life now. Come on, put your foot down and say, I reign in life now. Oh, I'm glad I got a strong ankle. We're reigning in life. Fred Price said years ago, he said, you're either reigning in life or life is reigning on you. So let us reign in life. You reigning in life is taking your place in His abundant grace. And you reigning in life gives the Lord great joy. It gives Him great joy when you take authority over demonic forces. It gives Him great joy when the doctor said, there's no way. And you lift up your voice and said, yeah, but He is the way and the truth and the life. Glory to God. It gives Him great joy when Wall Street and Dow goes down. But you know that you've been lifted up. And sooner or later, things are going to go your way. Woo, glory to God. Say with me, it's going to go God's way. So as kings who reign in life and who soar in life, it's good to know things about the kingdom of God. For example, in Romans chapter 14, and you'll notice in verse 17, let's read that one together. For the kingdom of God. Let's stop right now. That's where you are. You're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. You've been translated, transferred, lock, stock, and barrel out of that domain into the kingdom of God. Jesus said to His disciples, lo, the kingdom of God is within you. It's among you. And so the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. But what is the kingdom of God, Paul? The kingdom of God is, read it together with me, righteousness, peace, and joy. Say that again. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Did you know there's joy in the kingdom? You see, when we get an understanding of what belongs to us in our inheritance as being part of the kingdom of God, we will reign over condemnation. Because in this kingdom, there's only right standing with God. And I want to say to some of you today, you need to stop looking in the rear view window at the past. And you need to gird up. And you need to understand that today is a brand new day. And it will do you no good. As a matter of fact, it'll do you great harm if you choose to live in regret. I say to you, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. When we get an understanding of reigning in righteousness, we have victory over condemnation. How about this? Peace. We can reign over worry. How many of you have been attacked with worry this past week? Look at all the hands. You know, just because you've been attacked with worry doesn't mean you need to yield to worry. Have you noticed that the devil is a flat worry wart? That's right. You're a worry wart. He's a wart. And warts don't belong up here. Warts belong... Ooh, that's the other ankle. Woo! Warts belong down there. So don't take the bait. Set your mind and affection on Jesus. For every fear-filled thought that He brings to your soul, God's got a faith-filled thought in the exceeding great and precious promises of God. So find out what He said and refuse to worry. I think sometimes we need to repent for being stupid. Craig Hagin, Dad Hagin's grandson, wrote a book called Don't Be Stupid. What do you mean, repent for being stupid? For worrying. It's dumb to worry. His eye is on the sparrow. He clothes the brakase, the lilies of the field. He feeds the birds by the billions every day. And so he said, look, don't take any thought saying, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's the devil. You just look into the Word of God and declare the promises of God. Yes. Say with me, I'm reigning over worry. Because in this kingdom, there is only peace. I speak a word of peace over you right now. Ha ha baride. Come on, everybody, pray. In the name of Jesus, we come against the spirits of fear that have hounded your loved ones. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We take the keys of the kingdom that gives us access, that gives us control, and we take authority over fear. We take authority over the worries of this world in the name of Jesus. Put your hand over your heart and say, I receive the peace of God that passeth all understanding. For you have said in your word that you will keep me in perfect peace. So I choose to keep my mind and to keep my focus stayed on you. The kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is peace. But the kingdom of God is also joy. Have you ever woke up in the morning and not felt joyful? I wrote out a great list this morning. Early in the morning, I woke up and I wrote down several I wills. I will rejoice today. I will pray today. I will be thankful today. Hallelujah. Get your will involved. And when you get your will involved, the anointing shall come upon you and cause those things that you believe and declare to become a reality in your life. So I walked around the house today saying, I'm strong. I'm strong. I am strong. But I'm not strong in Mark. I'm strong in Him. There's a big difference between strong in Mark and strong in Him. Woo, glory to God. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Might need an adjustment after this, kid. Amen. I will. Then I made several things I will not. I will not worry. I will not yield to fear. I will not die. But I will live. And declare the works of the Lord. I will live long and I will live strong. And so will you. And so will you. And so will you. Be it unto us according to our faith. Be it unto us according to the word of the Lord. No more sorrow. For the kingdom of God, it's joy. Hallelujah. Could we just kind of, we don't have to do it quietly, but could we just kind of rejoice for 10 seconds? Glory! For the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor Mark, I know it's in the Holy Ghost, but what about me? Well, if the Holy Ghost is in you, the joy is in you. You just need to stir it up a little bit. You need to just shout it out just a while. And just do some dancing like you got good sense. We reign over the curse of the law. When you and I soar, we rise above the curse because we're operating from a place of grace and truth. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. Did you know that every sickness and every disease known and unknown to mankind is a curse? But thank God Christ redeemed you. Christ redeemed you. Say it with me. Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law. We have got a record of so many people in the Bible that although they had great obstacles, they were able to soar and they were able to reign. They took Joseph and threw him in a pit, his brothers did. He was sold into slavery, went into Potiphar's house. He was the head of that household. Potiphar's wife said, Joseph looked good. And she tried to seduce Joseph. And Joseph did an exit stage right. And she grabbed his clothing. And then she accused him of trying to seduce her. And he was thrown into prison falsely. Talk about obstacles. And yet Joseph was a man of God. And while he was in prison, the Lord gave him a dream. And the Lord gave Pharaoh a dream, actually. And he called Joseph to interpret the dream because he knew that Joseph could deliver the goods. His magicians couldn't. His astrologers couldn't, but he called a man of God. And Joseph interpreted the dream and he said, there's going to be famine for 7 years. And he gave him a plan how that they would be able to sustain Egypt for those 7 years. Obstacle after obstacle. And then his brothers came from afar because they were busted. They were disgusted. They had no food. They were dying from famine. And they came before little bro Joe. Come on, Hal. And little bro Joe didn't get all full of pride. See, you guys shouldn't have done that. You're going to jail. But little bro Joe opened his arms to them and said, whatever is in Egypt belongs to you. And I love you how he said it. You meant it for evil. But God spared me. And God raised me up. Enabled me to soar at the right hand of Pharaoh. And he meant it for good. I'm telling you folks, you can overcome any and every obstacle that Satan throws your way. The Apostle Paul, think about Paul. He overcame persecution. He preached the gospel to nations. He declared the victory through Christ. He's the one who said, nay, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. In 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9, notice with this, with me, Paul said this, I'm troubled on every side. You ever felt like that? Yet I'm not distressed. He says, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I've been persecuted. Hey, but we're not forsaken. And I love this one. I have been cast down, but not destroyed. He was an overcomer. He soared through it. He soared over it. The passion really will set your feet to dancing. Are you ready to read this with me? Notice in the passion, ready, read. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do. But quitting is not an option. Stop right there. That was another one of my I will nots. I will not quit. I will not lose hope. He said, at times, we don't know what to do. But oh, thank God, quitting is not an option. Say it with me, I'm not a quitter. I'm a winner. And quitting, it's not an option. Read verse 9 with me now. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down. We may be knocked down, but we ain't out. We on our way up. In Micah chapter 7, and I believe it's verse 8, it says, rejoice not against me. One translation says, don't you dare gloat over me, devil. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, glory to God, I shall arise. Whoa, glory to God. Everyone shout, say, I shall arise. You're either up or you're on your way up. And that's the attitude of a faith-filled believer. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Now, surely there are times, all of us have experienced this. There are times when it seems like we're hemmed in. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the game of chess, but checkmate, it's a position in chess in which a player's king is threatened with capture, and there's no legal move to escape the threat. In this game of chess, delivering checkmate is the ultimate goal in chess. A player who is checkmated loses the game. There was a painting many, many years ago called Checkmate by Friedrich Mortiz August Reich. And in the artwork, a young man is depicted. Listen to this. He's depicted playing chess against the devil. And it seems as if the devil has him trapped in checkmate, symbolizing, of course, a loss, the loss of his soul. However, according to the story, a chess champion one day saw that painting. And he studied the painting very carefully, and he noticed, this isn't checkmate. The king has one more move. The chess champion likely saw a move that everyone else missed. And I say to you this morning, the king has one more move. For when the devil comes along and tells you you're blocked, it's over, you're stopped, you don't have a chance, you're surrounded. You see, we have an adversary that wants to checkmate our lives. He wants to put us in a position where he tells you it's over. There's no hope. You're done. But that's when eagles rise up. That's when eagles rise up and begin to reign in life and get sassy where the devil is concerned. Sometimes you got to put your hand on your hip and say, I don't think so. Try that right now and say, I don't think so. And so when the enemy screams and says, I've got you, there's nowhere else you can turn. When hell yells checkmate, our response is, everyone say it, I don't think so. Why is that? Because the king of kings The Mastiff Issei, the one who triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. He not only has one more move, but he's got multiple moves. For every test, for every testimony, there is a way out. No more checkmates for you. No more checkmates for me. I don't think so, devil. My king is working for me. He's on my side. He's working in me now. He's working through me now. He's turning things around. Woo! Glory to God. The king always, always has the last word. Moses, surrounded at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army closing in. There's no more moves left on the table. And suddenly the enemy whispers into Moses' ear, checkmate, it's over. What we need to understand is God has got a rod. And the king had one more move. And he took that rod. And that which was closed open, and the Red Sea didn't drown the children of Israel. They came over on the other side. Woo! They triumphed gloriously. And the master himself, they crucified him. They put him in a tomb. They sealed it. And the enemy said, checkmate. But the king had one more move. Glory to God. He went into the very pit of hell itself, and he raised the master from the dead, triumphant. And he said, all hail, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Sometimes the doctor may say, I've done all I can do. The banker says, I've done all I can do. The family counselor says, I've done for all your family I can do. But we serve a God who has never said, I've done all I can do. Just when you think God has done all you can do, he's reserved power and reserved glory for your situation. When hell says checkmate, just remember, the king has one more move. The king has one more move. Yes. The king has one more move. And I declare in the name of Jesus, he's working, he's working, he's working in your life. He's working in this church. He's working in this nation. The king is not finished with you yet. I said the king ain't done with you yet. So stop listening to the lies of the devil and get up and soar and reign in life. And so one thought from God can turn your life around. No more yielding to the thoughts of the evil one, but consistently renewing your mind and thinking the thoughts of God and believing the word of God and speaking the word of God. So when it seems like you're hemmed in, and there seems like there's no way, out of the rich deposits of your heart shall come words from heaven. Words from my word, that as you speak, it shall stop the enemy. It shall cause him to desist in your maneuvers. It's not just enough to say, I don't think so, but rather bring it up another notch. And declare, I think the thoughts of God. I believe the thoughts of God. I speak the thoughts of God. For as you do, the enemy shall turn, the enemy shall run from you as in terror. Follow my example, says the Lord, from Matthew 4 and Luke 4, when the enemy came in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord and the Word of the Lord raised up a banner, raised up a standard against him. And my banner over you is love. And my banner over you is victory. And my banner over you is protection. Ha ha. So thank God today that you are in a preferred position. You are an eagle soaring in life, reigning in life as a child of the King. Let's raise our hands and thank him.